Continue on tonight and finish our little study on stewardship. And we looked at time last week and spent a lot of time with that thought. And tonight we're going to finish it up. We're going to look at the last three that we want to go through, and that's talents and testimony and treasure. And all those things are important. No doubt they're important. And so we're going to start tonight in Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19, and we'll start there in verse number 12. It's a parable, of course, Jesus Christ gave, and talking about talents, And I believe that God gives everybody talent and ability. He does. God gives people talent and ability. And I just believe, and I believe everything that's inside of me, I believe that most of the talent and ability God gives His children gets wasted. And we end up not using it for Him. And that's sad because there's so much talent and ability in the family of God to do anything. But sometimes, and a lot of times, matter of fact, most times, our talents just don't get used for very much for anything. And they kind of get wasted, and that's sad. If you found Luke 19, if you look there in verse 12, this is what the Bible says. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Occupy. Now, what's that mean? It means be busy. All right? I'm giving you each, I have 10 servants, 10 pounds, giving you each a pound. I want you to be busy till I come. Verse number 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returning, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto whom called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, as we look at this thought tonight about stewardship, about our talents and about our abilities, God, you give everyone talent and abilities. You give everyone gifts. And God, one day you'll require of us something of those gifts. And you're going to want to know what we did with those gifts. And God, I pray as a child of God that we could all realize that we have gifts, that we have talents, that we have abilities. And God, that we could identify them and use them for your honor and glory. Bless the word. And God, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, we've talked about stewardship and we've talked about how it's managing another's welfare and another's goods. And in this parable here, of course, the good man leaves the 10 pounds to the 10 servants. And then he comes and to see what they had done with the ability that God had given to them. And notice that they were all given a pound. So they all had ability. You know, I don't care who it is. If it's if it's our teenagers, teenagers have ability. Little kids have ability, right? Jose's got ability. Lucy and Liam got ability, right? Eli's got ability, right? Everybody in this room has ability to do something. And little Hannah's got, you know, if it's nothing else but, to brighten someone's day. Everybody has ability to do something. And there's no doubt about that. And even we say, well, what if we're our seniors? Well, there is still value to your life, or God would have killed you. You, as long as you're alive, God has purpose for your life. There's purpose. And let me tell you something. I tell seniors all the time, you may not be able to do a whole lot of anything, but you can pray. And let me tell you, God hears the prayers of His widows and of His saints and little children and old people. God is especially attentive to their prayers. So don't tell me there's not something that everyone can do in this building. Amen. There's something everyone can do in this building. Everyone has talents. If you'll notice what it says there, when he came, it says he came to see how much in verse 15 everyone at man had gained by trading. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now, isn't that great? I mean, really, he 10 times what the Lord had given him. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful over very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, think about that a minute. Over 10 cities. Now, we're talking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You know, during the millennial reign of Christ, these cities and this planet is going to be someone's going to rule over it. And someone's going to be in charge over it. You understand that? And what we do for Jesus Christ now determines our position then in the millennial kingdom. I don't know about you. I'd like to be in charge of 10 cities, right? I'd like to have some authority during that time, that 1,000 years, you know, to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the child of God, that we will rule and reign with Him as kings and priests. But it's based upon what we do with our talents and abilities now. Notice what he goes on to say. That's good. It says, and the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. You see, it's directly related. You know, hey, you know, you understand we all have different abilities. And some people are better at things than other people. But the fact of the matter is, he did gain 5 other pounds. That was an awesome thing. And the Lord commends him for it and says, be over 5 cities. And then notice what happens. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. Verse 20, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest not where thou dost not sow. And he saith them, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him half 10 pounds. Can we lose our millennial reign, our reward during the millennial reign of Christ? Absolutely. Rewards can be lost. You know, we've read 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Rewards can be lost. And he says, take away the pound that he gave and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now notice what they said. And they said to him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. You see, God expects us to use our gifts for His honor and glory. He doesn't expect us to sit on our gifts. You know, I'm amazed the amount of people that can actually sing and that have beautiful voices. A lot of times you can't get those people to sing. People that can play instruments, my gosh. You know how much money we spend teaching kids to play instruments when they're in school? And then they get out of school and they never play them again. And when they could be, you know, the average church could have an orchestra. If everybody who took music classes and played an instrument would bring those crazy things to church, the average church could have an orchestra. But see, that's a waste of talent. It's a waste of gifts. Because why? They don't use their talents and their gifts for God's honor and glory. We had a guy in Cincinnati. We didn't have a piano player for years and years and years. And one day he told me that he used to play the... I was a song leader. And man, it's hard to lead music with no... music. I'll tell you that right now. My gifts are, I'm only so limited in my gifts and my abilities. And when we didn't have a piano player, the song service could get pretty rough sometimes, right? Because, you know, if you don't know the song exactly, you kind of make it up. Or if you get off tune, you just sing a crazy tune, sing whatever. And you know, sometimes people come in and it'd be so horrible, you'd have to laugh. It was so horrible. And one of the guys was sitting there and he says, you know, he says, I used to play the trumpet. I said, you used to play the trumpet? He said, do you still have one? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you bring that crazy thing to church and play it, and maybe it'll help me be a better song leader. And he says, for real? I said, yeah, for real. Bring that thing to, practice a couple weeks at home and bring that thing to church. And boy, Brother Jim practiced at home a few times, and he brought that to church. And I can't tell you what it did to our song service at Bible Believers Baptist Church. It made the song, it brought the song service to life. And you know, and the more he played that, the better he got at that. And it was awesome. He played faithfully until he had his heart attack. And then he didn't have the wind to play anymore. But it added to the church services. And I thought to myself, you know, if everybody that had these different gifts and abilities would just use them for Jesus Christ, what a great thing that would be. People have gift. I mean, my gosh, the gifts that God has given to His children to be used for His honor and glory. And so many times we don't use those gifts. And I just think to myself, you know, how sad that is. You see people that go to college, you know, and they get all kind of degrees, and then you'll find them working in Walgreens. And that's okay that they're working in Walgreens, but I'm thinking, my goodness, you got all these degrees, you could be doing something with that. You say, what is it? It's not using our abilities and our talents to the fullest. People that have the gift of talking, and people have the gift of making things. People have, you know, there's all kind of different gifts. But what are we doing with the gifts that God has given to us? He expects, if God gives you a talent, He expects us to in some way use that for His honor and glory. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 tonight, and again, this is stewardship. taking the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God gives you and using it for His honor and glory. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And notice what it says here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that you have ignorant. Why be ignorant? It says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one, the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, again, there's all kind of different gifts out there, right? And I understand that. Some people have the gift of gab. Some people have the gift of knowledge. Some people have the gift of construction. Some people have the gift of destruction. That's my gift right there. I have the gift of destruction. I can tear up anything. But we all have different gifts. And it's taking the gifts that God gives us and using them for His honor and glory. You know, some of you can make a friend and talk to somebody. You don't know a stranger. You know what? You would be great and it'd be used of God and soul winning. Because you don't feel nervous to talk to people. And again, God gives everybody different gifts. And it's using those gifts that we have for His honor and glory. Some people have a gift, man, they have a gift of making money. You ever seen people had a gift of making money? I mean, they can make money without even trying to make money. You know what? If they would use that gift for God's honor and glory, what a great blessing that would be to the work of God. Some people have the gift of spending money. That's most of us. Right? But you understand what I'm saying? God gives everybody different gifts. But what are we doing with the gifts that God has given us? God is going to require something one day of those who He gives gifts to. Notice what it says in verse number 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one and one member, not many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, but man, we've got everything crazy happening in the name of Jesus Christ. You got that crazy Westboro Baptist Church, right? 1-800 God hates fags. That's their whole thing, right? And they get on national TV and it's disgusting and it's obscene if you get on their website. But they profess to know Christ as their personal Savior. They hate everyone and they hate everything. They protest at our veterans when they're killed in battle. They go and protest at their funerals and they boldly profess that they know Christ and then act so horribly to disgrace the name of Jesus Christ. And it's a disgrace. Amen. And the name of Jesus Christ is blasphemed because of them bunch of idiots. Yes, but you know what? How many times the name of Christ been blasphemed right here in Chattanooga at work because some Christian was lazy and wouldn't do their job? How many times has the name of Jesus Christ been blasphemed right here in Chattanooga so some Christian was at Walmart shoplifting or stealing or acting like an idiot at the counter? My wife was at Walmart not long ago, and this guy was in there, and he was being rude as he could possibly be. He couldn't be more rude. And my wife, listen, Lisa, she's quiet. You know, she wouldn't make a peep. But this guy went on and on and on, and she got tired of him talking to that lady like that, so she finally said something. And then he said, "You mind your own effing business." Right? Or whatever, something like that. And the thing kept, you know, and so she said, you know what, I'm going to keep telling him something. She did. But when it was all said and done, the guy had come just to the point where he was one step from getting thrown out. And then he says, "God bless you and you all have a good day." Can you imagine saying "God bless you and have a good day" after you were cussing like a sailor, acting like a complete beast, and so unbecoming of a Christian to have the audacity to say, God bless you and have a good day. I mean, I said, what is wrong with Christian people? That was a horrible testimony. And I just think to myself, what is wrong with Christian people to think that Jesus Christ is pleased with that kind of behavior? Everything we ought to do ought to bring praise to Jesus Christ's name. That Bible says that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. His life was pleasing to God. Do you think that God's going to allow us to go around and blaspheme his name, cause his name to be blasphemed by the terrible things we say and do, and God's going to be pleased with that? We're a steward of the name of Jesus Christ. We're his representatives here upon the earth. We are his ambassadors. And we have to be representing him in the right way. Hey, when you're mean and hateful at the restaurant, or you're mean and hateful at work, or we're, you know, hey, that is not what God wants the child of God to be. He wants our life to be God-honoring. And when you name the name of Christ and you do crazy things, it brings shame upon the name of Jesus Christ. And God help us when we're not careful about that. God help us when we're not careful about our behavior. And our, because of the testimony that it represents before a lost and dying world. How many times you've heard people say, if that's Christianity, I don't need it. Right? How many times you heard people say that? I've heard people say that over and over and over. If that's Christianity, if that's what God is, then there is no God. And we got to be careful. Because, hey, we're stewards of these things. Just like we're stewards of time and stewards of the talents, we're stewards of the testimony of Jesus Christ and how we represent him. Because we're the only Jesus Christ most people are going to see. And if our life isn't a very good example of Jesus Christ, again, you know, before you win people to Christ, you know you have to win them to first. You got to win them to you. That's right. Most people come to Christ because a friend invited them. And you have to win people to yourself before you'll ever win them to Jesus. And that's why the testimony is so important. And that's why how we handle ourselves and the things that we do and the things that we say and how we present ourselves to a lost and dying world, it is such an important thing. The last one I want to look at tonight is a simple thing, but yet it's an important thing as well, and it's our treasure. We look in Luke 16, and this is kind of where we began the study, and this is where we'll end it tonight. And Luke 16, now I know that the Bible makes it very clear when it comes to treasure, when it comes to money. Money can be wasted or it can be used for God, and I believe that. And if you've listened to, is it Don Ramsey or Tom, what's it? Dave Ramsey, let me correct that there. I couldn't remember his name tonight, I was in a fog, but Dave Ramsey. And he does a lot of financial counseling and that kind of thing and money matters. And you know, and I was listening to a thing on the news the other night, and Bill Riley was on for a few minutes, and he had made mention that it was crazy for people. People are insane to pay 24% interest on credit cards. And he made that statement, and of course a person wrote him back and said that she felt insulted and offended because they had gotten some financial straits and because of the financial crises and things happened, they end up owing 24% interest on credit cards. And what he said was, look, he said, at some point, you just got to spend what you have and don't spend what you don't have. And that's true. I was talking to somebody just recently, and they were talking about buying a car at Buy Here, Pay Here place. Now, I beg people, never buy a car at a Buy Here, Pay Here place. All right? I was up here talking to the guys at Easy Auto. Boy, they make it easy, don't they? You know, at Easy Auto, they usually sell the same car about 10 times. They usually sell the same car about 10 times. And a car that is worth $7,000, they sell for about probably three times that. I was looking at a car one time, a guy pulled it down, and I said, hey, how much you guys wanting for that car? He said, you got good credit? I said, yeah, I got good credit. He said, oh, you can't buy no car from us then. Because we sell these cars for three times what they're worth. And what we do, we help people who have bad credit get good credit, but we make them pay through the nose to get it. So if you buy a car for $7,000, you're probably going to pay $21,000 or $22,000 or maybe even $30,000 for it before it's through, just to improve your credit score. Now, I thought to myself, that is absolutely crazy. I mean, to spend that kind of money to pay, because they charge 29% and 30% interest on all their cars. Now, they say $100 down and drive, or no down payment, the low, you know, and see it today, drive it tomorrow, and pay for it for the rest of your life. You understand what I'm saying? But I, and again, you say, why do people do that? Because they don't know what stewardship is. They don't know how to handle money. And, you know, the Jesus in our text here says, he says that the children of this world are wiser than the children of kingdom. They used to do these financial seminars for churches, and they would talk about interest. They said, God's people have never learned about interest and that how to make wealth and not be poor all your life. And I find that there's a truth here. And Luke 16, notice what it says. We'll go ahead and read that. It says, and he said unto the disciples, there's a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him which had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do when I am put out from the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, again, you beg people. You got all these title pawn places, and they charge 30% interest. And I think to myself, my goodness, that's a horrible way to do business. The payday advance, and all that kind of stuff, that they prey on people who don't know how to handle money. And again, the amount of money that goes through people's hands, but how do you spend what God's given you? And learn to be a good steward of what you have. It's an important thing. Notice what he says. He goes on to say, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now again, learning how to handle money. It's an important thing, you know, and there's some principles, you know, the principles of handling money and giving. You know, I always encourage people to learn to tithe and give to missions. Tithe and give an offering. Why? Because that's one of the first promises that you have when it comes to money. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken again, running over shall men give into your bosom. For what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's God's promise. And people who learn to give, God has a way of blessing their lives. A stingy person never has anything, never will have anything. And learning how to handle what God has given you. There's a guy, one of the guys on the bus ministry, he's got the gift of making money. Man, he does. He makes all kind of money. He was telling me about his neighbor. And, he said that his neighbor makes good money and they do things. He said, but, you know, he said they can never seem to have any money. And he said, if they wouldn't spend every penny they had, then they would have something at the end of the day. Isn't that the truth? Right. Why are the banks so wealthy? Because what do? They save and let you borrow and you pay back at a higher rate, right? That's called interest. And there's a way to succeed in life. But again, learning not to waste everything you have. Right here in Chattanooga, what most people do is they get a lot of people in the Chattanooga area get a check. They get it once a month. But I promise you, by the second week, they have spent everything in their check. And then they beg for the next 2 weeks. You say, why is that? They've never learned to be good stewards of what God's given them. Learning to be a good steward. Learning to save. learning to live on what you have, learning to be wise. Now, again, do we all, hey, you know, do we all go through financial difficulties sometimes? Yes, we all do. But be as wise as you can. Make good decisions. And because one day we're going to give account for what God gave us. God said, hey, look what all I gave you. What did you do with it? Well, you know what? I'm going to say, well, I did invest in that. Right? I did invest in the church. I did invest in some people. Those are eternal things, folks. The house and the car and the vacations and all the junk is going to mean nothing at that day. And that's why you got to be careful where you're investing your treasure, where you're spending yourself. Because, hey, God expects us to be good stewards. And one day God's going to want to know, what'd you do with all I gave you? What'd you do with that? And what are we going to say when we stand before God? You know what I do? I want to reach in my pocket and say, Lord, here's your pound and 10 more with it. I did something with what you gave me. You know what? And if I can't produce 10, I want to produce 5. But I know one thing. I don't want to pull just 1 pound out of my pocket and say, well, here it is. Because God's not going to be pleased with that. God expects us to do something with what He's given us. There's an expectation. There's an obligation. And one day we're going to see what was important and what wasn't important. We're going to find out a lot of things that we didn't place importance on, God did. And we're going to wish at that day that we had, hey, done something different. God expects us to be good stewards. He expects us, hey, think about what you're doing. And ask yourself, is God pleased with this? And let that be the litmus test for everything we do. Let that be the litmus test for the things that you buy. Let that be the litmus test for the things that you invest in. Let that be the litmus test for how you act. Let that be the litmus test for everything that we do for the Lord. God expects us. He expects us to honor and glorify Him in all things. The great question is, though, is what kind of steward are you being of what God's given you? Let's stand for prayer.